Hello and welcome everybody to another edition of The Measuring Post. Thank you so much for tuning in. I've got another fantastic guest for you today. And as you do know about The Measuring Post, this is a place to learn and grow together. Oftentimes we talk of things about your health, your wellness, your mental health, different things that you can do in your daily life in order to reach that level of personal growth that you're hoping to achieve. But one of the things we don't often talk about that's really, really valuable is your finances and your retirement specifically, because the goal is not to work forever and not be able to enjoy yourself. You want to maximize your retirement, your financing, and also leave yourself in a position where you can enjoy those golden years that you have someday. And to do that today, I brought in a very special guest, a friend of mine, Mr. Henry Yoshida. He is the CEO and co-founder of Rocket Dollar. Now, Rocket Dollar is a fintech company that makes it easy for people to invest in retirement savings like real estate, private equity, crypto, a lot of other alternatives that I'll let him get into. He's also the former founder of Honest Dollar, which was purchased by Goldman Sachs. So you know that that's a pretty good accomplishment by itself. He also founded My Group LLC, which was also acquired by a group called CapTrust. So before I go any further in explaining what this man has accomplished, Henry, thank you for joining me on The Measuring Post. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing great, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, appreciate it. I'm really excited for this one because, again, admittedly, this is something I'm not super well versed in. I have the traditional 401k that came through businesses. I set up a Roth IRA a while back and I put money in that. I do dabble a little bit into crypto, but not, you know, I got in way later than I probably should have. But learning about these skill sets is something that I know is very intriguing to me. So sort of before you get into Rocket Dollar, give us the quick high level background of Henry and how did you get to where you're at now?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I accidentally got into the retirement space. Obviously, as I've gotten older in life, I thought a lot about more about the retirement for me personally and sort of making sure that I have a nest egg and savings. I still have some big costs ahead of me. So we were talking about this offline, but, you know, I have two kids who have yet to go to college. So I still have that on the horizon. And then after that will be my own retirement. And somewhere in between, I think a lot of your listeners may face this as well. They may be in a position they have to take care of elderly parents as well. So just, you know, if they didn't have the savings, then it's usually kind of that millennial, older millennial or younger Gen X generation that's actually supporting the elderly parents and the boomer parents as well. So we call it, they're called the sandwich generation. But you know, you've asked about the retirement space. I got into it accidentally because I started in financial services when the internet bubble was bursting in a tech heavy town. I live in Austin, Texas. And for me to survive in business, I was working in financial services. I pivoted to supporting small business owners and helping them set up 401k plans for their employees, which then led to IRAs. And it's just kind of stuck with me. So now in 25 years later, I started in the year 2000 in my career. I've basically been always in and around the retirement space and typically consulted or asked about my opinions related to trends for retirement savings, financial planning, and so forth. And I guess I've never said it about myself, but people tag me as this retirement planning expert.
Well, I think you're being a bit modest. You do got a pretty impressive background. Not only that, you also went to the University of Texas at Austin and got your MBA from Cornell University. So I think that's worth a few pats on the back. You also spent 10 years at Merrill Lynch.
That's actually where I started. So it was an interesting time to start. Again, I mentioned it was in the internet bubble bursting days. So you had people, it was a very volatile time in the stock market. Oddly enough, we went into that period where technology-focused companies were a very dominant part of the index, which is actually, again, true today in the year 2025. And then those stocks actually have had a precipitous decline and made people reevaluate. You know, there were people I talked to who thought that stocks did nothing but go up. You may have younger listeners of the Measuring Post that think that stocks never go down either, because they have been doing nothing but going up for the last several years at this point, regardless of what happens in the world, the economy, interest rates, real estate, crypto world, you name it, it's just always gone up. But at the end of the day, you have to be prepared and ready. And what I tell people about retirement planning is that it needs to be viewed in the moment, in your present state while you're working, as just another obligation or a bill that you just have to set aside money and pay for every month. That's the way I view it. That's the easiest way to look at it, I think.
And I think that that's a really easy piece of advice, but it's really easy to not do. And I think people, sort of myself included, there's been times when money was really tight or I was in between jobs. And all of a sudden, like, if I'm paying into a voluntary retirement account, that's the first thing I would stop paying into, because that doesn't feel like, you know, that can wait. But that should be the complete opposite thought process for sure, because right. that's your longevity, right? And you can't, the old traditional one family household income, you're putting money, you know, 10% in the bank every month, and then you get some great pension at the end of your career. Those days are long gone, and you can't live off of just liquid savings either, because the value of the dollar is going down. You know, it's just a reality of the way the world is working, and you need to diversify those assets in your retirement portfolios. So I'm really looking exactly. forward to seeing sort of what trends you're seeing and what Rocket Dollar does. So I guess with that in mind, let's jump to the now. What's Rocket Dollar about, and kind of how did that get started?
So Rocket Dollar, a company I started in 2018, and it was really built on the idea that the public stock market itself, and I'd worked in this space since the year 2000, so I saw a lot of this, and a lot of what happened then is actually cycling and happening again today. The headlines, if you were to pull them from the Wall Street Journal in the year 2000, if you were to slap them on and change the date, they actually look markedly similar, oddly enough. But in 2018, I've now at this point spent 18 years working in the retirement space. So 10 years at Merrill Lynch with traditional 401k plans in traditional large cap and just well-known branded mutual fund companies. And then from 2010 to 15 with my group, I worked in the consulting space, always around retirement plans and traditional investments, public investments. But that actually led to a realization for me that there's a large accumulated base of existing IRA and 401k savings in America, and almost none of it is invested in anything that is not a S&P 500. That indicates a publicly traded company that happens to be ranked in the 500 largest in the United States. There was almost no retirement savings in the United States invested outside of these large companies' publicly traded stocks, of which at this point in the year 2000 and 2008, I'd personally watched on behalf of clients and in my own portfolios had a drop of over 50, roughly 50% from the absolute top to the bottom before things started to recover twice in the course of 15 years. And it made me think that there needs to be a platform out there where people can take existing savings in the retirement accounts. They're long-term, they're tax-friendly, but give them the ability to invest in things that are not stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. So again, you mentioned a little bit earlier, so real estate on one end of the spectrum, maybe cryptocurrency and digital assets in the other, and then private investment funds in between, and making that in an easy digital platform. And that's what Rocket Dollar is. So we are an IRA platform with the same tax treatments of any IRA that you have currently, any of your listeners, but instead of stocks, bonds, mutual funds, they can buy private and alternative investments from real estate to crypto. That's what we do.
So you really found a really big gap in the retirement space that I think is something that you use to your benefit, but also brilliant.
If I were to tell you the numbers, the gap is the gap, when I say that this number was roughly about 99.5% of all retirement assets in the United States are invested in public investments and 0.5%. But the actual numbers, so the listeners know, they do the numbers once every year and a half. So it's kind of like a census, but for the investment industry done by ICI, Investment Company Institute. So at last count, overall retirement assets, so IRAs, 401ks, pension plans that you alluded to earlier, are close to $34.5 trillion. So when I say that 99.5% of it is invested, largely concentrated in the top 500 publicly traded companies, that's a big, big concentration. And a lot of us are betting our entire retirement savings and future on the hopes and dreams of Apple, Meta Platforms, Johnson & Johnson, you know, JP Morgan Chase, and think of whatever other company you would know would most likely be in the top 500 in the US. And that's it.
Yeah. And I think it's really important to be distinctive in explaining that most people just don't know any better. And they were taught from what their parents did, and they were taught from what their parents did. And sometimes you just sort of trickles downhill. But the inability to diversify outside of your own knowledge base is something that could be very limiting to people in retirement. For example, like if you only have a 401k that you worked at the job for 40 years, they give you the gold watch on the day you retire, you're not going to make it off of that 401k because, again,
people don't do that
inflation.
Either, right? So 40 years,
yeah,
I mean, if we were to go out right now, to the gym, to Costco, and or a dinner party, and meet someone who's been at the same company for 40 years, we'd look at them like they were an alien at this point. Like, 20 years ago, that was a pretty normal thing. If you were to get together, and I have, for example, my 30-year high school reunion is this weekend. A lot of those people, their parents, I could reference their parents, are now in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and they would say, "Oh yeah, my mother or father worked at XYZ company, or was a school teacher for X 25, 30, 40 years," and now that's not the case. People are moving jobs every 3, 4, 5 years, which puts even more of the onus and the burden to make sure that you have proper retirement savings, because you're starting a new plan, you're leaving old plans at old employers, and it's even more important that you're proactive and you take proactive steps to ensure that you have the appropriate nest egg for yourself in retirement.
And with the ever increasing, AI adoption and technology and the way it's booming, it's hard sometimes to keep a job for more than a short amount of time because a lot of jobs are being swallowed up or repurposed into new roles because now there's something that can do the job for you. So much like technology is taking over certain sectors, certain new products and digital assets like crypto are taking over more traditional retirement programs. So Rocket Dollar gives us this sort of bigger idea or bigger menu, a buffet menu of items that you can choose from. So what are some of the biggest ones that you see people come in and invest in at Rocket Dollar?
Well, so the people that come to us, they have existing retirement savings, and they realize that it's pretty concentrated, as I've been kind of talking about in the theme so far of my positioning. And the biggest asset class that we see, because it's both by dollar amount and probably also something that is not directly correlated, and given current economic circumstances in the macroeconomic state of the US, there's good opportunities there. The biggest asset class is real estate. So for several reasons. One is that that's a tangible type of investment that is very different than owning a virtual piece of paper that represents that you're a very small owner in a company like Tesla, or Apple or Microsoft, for example. So it's tangible, it's local. People in the local areas, they have knowledge about it. So in your case, you would know that, hey, there's new developments going on in this particular area of the greater Denver metropolitan area, or myself in Central Texas, that maybe San Antonio and Austin become a large metroplex like Dallas Fort Worth. So it might make sense to look at investment properties that are between the corridor of the interstate highway between the two cities with that are only 45 miles away from each other, and so forth. So I think people look at it because it's tangible. It's something that they may have a chance to have some local knowledge above and beyond, like what, let's say, what, someone just living in New York might know about the Denver greater metropolitan area real estate markets and so forth. And it produces an income stream. So it's something that people like. It's something that typically doesn't go down in value. I mean, just so you know, there was a credit crisis in 2008, but I would almost argue that the precipitous drop in real estate prices had to do with the level of debt incurred to own real estate more than it might have that the value of the properties itself just were not worth as much as people thought. Debt allowed them to rise in value, but the actual property is the property.
Yeah, and I'm very aware of that 08 crisis. I was actually in the mortgage industry at that time, and I still am a licensed NMLS agent. I've been a mortgage broker off and on for many, many years of my adult life. It was a family business that I got into, and we saw the crash. My dad ran a wholesale company back then that was crushing it by all accounts. But a bigger part of that problem was they were doing stated income, stated assets. You didn't have to prove anything. You could walk in and be like, "Hey, I'm Joe Mass and I make 100 grand a month and I got $48 million in the bank and I want this house and I'll sign anything you want." And people did. And then they said, "Sure, here's the keys to your multi-million-dollar mansion that you can't afford," even though you lied to me and said you could. And then when it came time to pay those, monthly mortgage payments, everyone defaulted. A big portion of the country defaulted. And, there was just too much consuming happening. It couldn't wasn't sustainable.
I think so. Well, right now people are trying to sell, maybe they're trying to downsize. So if you're the investor side and you have capital, let's say accumulated in IRAs and 401ks, and you're within, let's say, 5 to 10 years of retirement, people are very interested in purchasing a rental property inside of an IRA today, knowing that the rental income will just keep going into this IRA. But once they turn 59 and a half, which is the age range of when you're eligible to take money out of your IRA or 401k, Now they can actually rely on that as an income stream and live off of it. But there's a lot of buying opportunities because there's more sellers than there are buyers in the real estate market. Interest rates have stayed stubbornly high despite the first rate cut of 2025 happened in the middle of last week. That people are interested in. And once they realize with a platform like Rocket Dollar that they can get access to these old IRAs and 401ks, a large pool of capital, then they're in the business of being able to locate and identify and buy a property at a good price right now because there's more people selling than there are buying. So if you're on the buying side, you get a good deal. Basic economics.
Yeah, and rates are traditionally high right now, but historically these are nowhere near the highest they used to be. Even when I first got into the industry, you're talking 10 to 13% interest rates. The issue, I think, with a lot of especially younger people, it's the property value. The problem was the rates were going up and the value was going up. So now you got a 6.5% interest rate, but it's no longer a $200,000 house. It's a $600,000 house or $800,000 house. So now your $2,000 or $3,000 mortgage payment is $6,000 or $7,000 a month. And that's daunting. That's why it's really important to find these alternate ways to, you know, use your money to its maximum benefit.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what we talk about here at Rocket Dollar. I mean, I think the people that we get as customers at Rocket Dollar, so they have to have, they usually have enough of a general awareness that maybe they're over-concentrated. They've accumulated some monies across multiple 401ks and IRAs because they did not stay in the same job for 40 years because they're a modern person in modern times. And more normally, they switch. You mentioned that, you know, maybe people's jobs get upended, you know, with technology and so forth. I think that's kind of the pessimistic view. I think it's more that people have the ability to move around because technology flows information. So now you have the ability to access websites and go look for other jobs while you might be working at your current job. And although maybe your employer and your boss doesn't like that, you have a right to kind of look out for yourself. And that goes to like to bring back the central premise of retirement savings. When money gets tough, I always have to tell people that the retirement savings that you have, what you're buying there is comfort and security in the last 25 years of your life. So when you put it into that perspective, even in the moment, you start to realize that that has a higher priority than the things that you might think are your normal bills. So this is the looking back at basic budgeting and deciding that before you do anything else, the very famous term in retirement savings, and hopefully if this is new for people, this is a great lesson here. They always say pay yourself first. So if you can't do a dime of every dollar to start out of the gate because money's tight, no problem. Start with a penny, start with 2 pennies. People can always find like 1 penny or 2 penny, 1% or 2% of every dollar they make, and then work up and just develop that muscle over time. It's no different than, you know, trying to get in shape. You know, you don't try to go lose 20 pounds in the first week of a workout program. You don't decide that you're going to train for a marathon that starts on Sunday morning of next week, right? You work up. You start with a 1 mile run, 2 mile run, and you really start to get your body conditioned. So you do the same thing with savings. You know, just start at a 1% amount, 2% amount, and 10, but no matter what, you do that first before anything else, because if when I put it in that perspective, what's more important, Uber One and DoorDash subscriptions and Netflix subscriptions, or comfort and security in the final 25 years of your life?
Yeah. And again, I like your attitude on that, pay yourself first, but also people never bat an eye when it comes out of their W-2 paycheck, right? If you're working for Amazon, just to throw a company out there, you get your W-2 paycheck. There's a portion of it that goes to taxes. There's a portion that goes to your retirement. You never even see that money. So it's out of sight, out of mind. What becomes tougher is when you're like an entrepreneur, you're self-employed, you get to see every dollar come in and then you have to allocate it accordingly. That's when I think people get into more issues. But if you have the ability, whether it's your current job with a W-2 employment, have it automated, just have it gone. If you can't even touch it, you'll never miss it because it's like, right, it doesn't exist.
Well, and you probably have a lot of entrepreneurs and small business owners that they also know that they do have to do some sort of allocation in the form of taxes, right? So the motivation there is to avoid jail. So you allocate. Yeah. So if you know that you're going to make, let's say, $100,000 for the year, $50,000 for the year, you know, hopefully you have an account set up to where you're starting to put money there to accumulate with the anticipation they're going to owe that back in taxes. So I would say that this is the same thing. The motivation is a maybe more near-term thing, which is make sure you pay your taxes and avoid going to jail. But I just tell people that just frame it into something. And I don't I'm not the type that wants to frame it in a negative light, but I just want people to understand that when you really think about what that money accomplishes, the paying yourself becomes easier because you know what it's for. Like, and again, I don't expect at all, and I get asked this for newspaper articles of, well, the recommended thing, and my financial advisor always says to start at 15%. That's the equivalent of trying to tell someone to just go, you want to get in shape, go to the gym and get on the treadmill for 3 hours. No person does that on their first day, or shouldn't, because they're more likely to hurt themselves. You know, you might say, just go there, get familiar with some of the things that are there. In my case, start with 1 cent of 1 cent of every dollar, start with two and work up from there and so forth. But no matter what, you do that before you do anything else.
Yeah, you got to sample it. You got to understand what you're doing and find the best ways that you can budget it into your current life, you know, and bills change and dynamics change and jobs come and go. And you're right. Sometimes exactly. I might be able to put 15% down without, you know, even being concerned. And then a year from now, maybe my circumstances have changed where 15% is just an astronomical number that I can't do right now. So again, there's nothing wrong with backpedaling. It doesn't matter how fast you get there, as long as you're taking some sort of step every day. Or every paycheck.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And you know, if income is uneven because you are a solo business owner, for example, then maybe in good months, like, make sure it's a higher percentage, right? And in bad months, like, you taper it down and you just go to the minimal level, like the 1 cent. The 1 cent just kind of keeps you in the muscle memory part of knowing that you're doing that first. Like, no matter how small it might be, it's something. And that's what I've kind of talked about over the years. I mean, I'm not in the direct coaching people for retirement savings directly, but back there in the MyGroup days, you know, I oversaw roughly 416,000 people in 401k plans as participants and employees across the country. And that's what I usually talk about, is just the dipping your toes in the water and making sure that you're doing something. But just know that you're doing it first, because it's actually more important than almost anything in the moment. Because in the moment, you're able to earn more money. Later in life, you're not able to go earn additional income.
And I think it's something to be aware of, that, you know, you can't rely on, like, Social Security. That might not be around when my kids are, you know, at retirement age. So I like the way you phrase it always. It's just, you have to look out for yourself the same way you have the ability and honestly the obligation to find yourself the best employment you can find, even if your employer doesn't look at it that way. Yeah. You have to find out what's best for you and your family and how you can stockpile that nest egg. Because again, the really sad part is, and I've seen this in my mortgage broker days, it's really sad when you see somebody that's, like, really up in age in their 70s and 80s, and they're so desperate and they have nothing. They didn't have enough saved. They can't make their bills. They're not making enough in Social Security or their retirement. And they're really, like, forced to either go back to work or, like, really go to, like, some really bad living environment. So it's really, really important, especially with, you know, people living longer. If you live a nice, long, healthy life, which is great, I wish that for everybody, it's tougher to plan to financially be secure for that length of time.
Exactly. You don't actually know how long your lifespan will be or how healthy you'll be in that particular lifespan. So that's one thing. And, you know, with retirement savings, it's like a lot of things, right? Just, yes, for many activities in your life, if you could go back and talk to your younger self, you would have told yourself to get started earlier. But that's impossible, short of being Marty McFly and Back to the Future, which I just introduced to my 15-year-old. She hadn't seen those movies. So I was like, you got to watch some of these old movies. And I realized that I failed as a father now showing these classic 80s movies. But short of being able to go back and talk to your younger self and give yourself advice or sports picks like they did in those movies to bet on, or to start retirement savings earlier, the next best time is to start right now, regardless of where you're at in the stage. Again, you just start getting that used to that motion and understanding that you pay yourself first, regardless of how minimal it might be in the beginning. What you typically find in the year is that people really get moving, and then they start finding ways to go to actually increase that amount. And then I'll see that same person maybe 2-3 years later, and they're basically pretty proud. They built, like, a decent beginning nest egg. They're starting to see that the monies and the accounts accumulate on their own. After they get to a certain point and maybe become, in their opinion or for their situation, over-concentrated in just public stocks, you know, a platform like Rocket Dollar may be relevant for them. But everything I've done, everything I've built has always been about just always thinking about that sort of retirement savings in America. And the one theme I have is that everything that's been done from a legislative standpoint has put the keys to the car and put the responsibility of driving and navigating this very difficult road and journey all by yourself in the hands of the individual person. And right now, the company isn't going to save you. The government isn't going to save you. As you mentioned, Social Security may not be there. The company could cut their 401k. They could cut their match. They could cut you, quite frankly. So you need to watch out for yourself and navigate that road on your own. And the best way is to kind of learn by experience and start small and build up and learn. And that's what I think I've done for those 416,000 people. Because I still, every now and then, I get pinged by on social media or in LinkedIn messages and so forth that they remember me in their lunchroom back in 2012 or 2009 saying things like that.
And you said something that I think is profound, but it is something to keep in mind if you're at the very beginning of this journey. When you do start to make the little bit of progress, and after the first year or two, it does get really exciting, even if it's only $5,000 or $10,000 you put away. But to see that number slightly bigger every time you log into that account, there is a sort of a euphoria that comes with it, because it's almost like also you feel like you're adulting, you know, for lack of a better word. Like yeah. You're doing the things that you know you should have been doing the whole time. But again, it was either a fear of not understanding, you know, just being overwhelmed, analysis paralysis. You know, how do I even come to understand what potential platform to use? You're absolutely right. You just have to do it. Just go out there and try something and, you know, open an account at Charles Schwab or one of these other Fidelities and, you know, Rocket Dollar for alternative investments. But just to have something going, all of a sudden, you'll start to find ways to add to it more quickly because it's exciting.
It's funny. You start to change your mindset, and all of a sudden, you start to find money. That's what ends up happening in this case. So in retirement savings, you start to find money, or in other parts of your life, you just make this productive decision to start thinking about it more. And all of a sudden things become easier. Things start to click. Things start to make sense. And I would tell everyone right now that if they're behind and they want to get started, just starting right now and opening an account, it's basically free to open an account at all these big house brokerages, and you can start with literally a dollar. I think the minimum now is a dollar for most of the major houses, and I would argue that no matter who you are, if you're listening to this podcast, you have a device, you have a $1,000 phone using a $50 to $100 a month internet plan, that person can find a dollar.
Yeah. And I think it's paramount that you do find that dollar, because again, it's the, you know, the old adage, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. And I know that's kind of cliche, but there is so much truth to that. And again, you don't have to really understand it all. Even going to a platform like Schwab or Fidelity, they've got built-in tools also that will help the very green, wet behind the ears newbie just get started. Like here, if you don't know what to do, put your first couple $100 in this account and this will start to grow, and then do your research. Take the time, as much as we doom scroll and watch Netflix and binge and all the stuff we do, spend 30 minutes a day or a couple hours a week in research, and or watch a podcast, or, you know, read an article or blog post on something about best ways to get started in retirement. And that little bit of legwork not only excites you about it, because now you're sort of learning a new skill set and really, you know, doubling down on your efforts to take care of yourself, sure. But it's just not as overwhelming as people make it seem. And, you know, when you first get into anything, like, you know, and I, you know, we'll talk about in a minute, your health fitness, you know, you've mentioned that a couple of times. Henry, by the way, is a stud. If you haven't been able to tell, he just relates back to it. He's trying to get under 10% body fat right now. Very close. That's impressive. But you don't start that way. You didn't start, you know, the same thing. You don't start training for a marathon that's in 4 days from now today, because right, that doesn't make sense. So you just have to build those muscle memories and get them moving. But exactly. Yeah, with that in mind, how's the 10% body fat journey going?
It's going well. You know, it's, I learn stuff. So for me, I do research on that. I try to find different things. I'm not a young guy anymore. So I have to do things differently, make sure I don't get hurt. Probably it's kind of funny. I think for me, I work out just as much to avoid injury, because an injury would set me back, really, really far at this point, as I do trying to get towards a certain goal. And I look at a lot of the similarities between trying to make improvements in your life, whether that's through fitness or whether that's in finances, and I try to combine those two. And I think of these analogies and parallels between the two. So you know, since the episode itself is focused on the retirement, for people just starting out, if you want to find that first amount of money, like when money's tight, people say money's tight. That's an auto response reaction. That's not data. That's not data back. Data back would be that, hey, okay, you need to go back and look at your debit card and your credit card statements and your bank account statements for the last 90 days, 3 months, and then really see where all the money went. Like, you don't even need to do anything else. I'm just telling you to go look at everything line by line, because you can download them on the website, because you probably got opted out of getting them sent to you in the mail at this point. And you're going to go through that exercise and realize that, wow, you know, those things were not necessary. I didn't even know these. You'll probably find things that you were paying for that you didn't realize that you were still paying for. Get rid of those. And all of a sudden, I bet you won't find $1. You're probably going to find a couple $100, if not more, on a monthly basis. So in fitness, it's the same thing. If you want to get in shape, you probably need to, for the course of 3 weeks, look and track everything that you put in your mouth to eat and consume as food, and decide where you're like really falling off the tracks. And it might be you didn't realize this, but you're eating the leftovers off of your kid's plate, for example, because, you know, groceries are expensive and you're by nature not someone who wants to waste food. But that may have added quite a bit to what you thought you were eating, or what you didn't know you were eating. And you realize this because you're tracking it for 3 weeks. The good thing is that typically in health, it's a more compressed time frame, and finance is typically a little bit longer. But the methodology is the exact same to find where you can cut, where it won't make a difference in your life and might actually help you, right? Extra bites here and there on the money side, extra subscriptions here and there that you don't use, or things that you can downgrade, or quite frankly, you just call and threaten to leave them, right? We've mentioned internet service providers.
Oh yeah.
Like, quite literally, if you just call and threaten to leave them and then throw out the other three competitors, magically, all of a sudden, they're offering you a plan that only you're going to be eligible for as an existing.
And I'm glad you said what you said, because me bringing up the fitness thing was going to tie all into this, and you just sort of did it for me. But there's two things that I wanted to mention about, you know, whether it's fitness or finances, and you mentioned both of them, but number one, it's the discipline to actually go to the gym, to actually pull the money out and put it away. So you do need the discipline to be able to be, you know, maintain long term. But the one thing I think is probably the scariest, it was for me with my health and also with my finances, it's that initial audit, because people don't like to look at what they're doing with their money or their
health.
That
is true.
I don't know why it is. It's one of those things. I don't want to look in the mirror and be like, dude, you're eating like a pig, or you're just blowing money out your butt. Like, because it's a sort of negative, depressing feeling. If I look through my bank and go, I make good money, I should have way more money than this. Why am I? But then you're right. You go through and you go, why am I paying 2 Netflix subscriptions and Hulu and Disney Plus? Plus I have cable, so I already have all those things. And like, it just gets overwhelming. So one thing I like to do every quarter to every half year, I do that with just my subscriptions. I will literally go through my credit card statement or, you know, bank statement and just see the recurring charges. And every year now I do it, and it's actually intoxicating to go back and eliminate those things, because it's a really good feeling to be like, man, I just saved $78 a month on stuff I wasn't even using, or I downloaded or I signed up for a 1 weekend. I wanted to watch one show. I watched it and then set it and forget it. And then all of a sudden I just spent $300 on the year on it, and I never looked at it again. So discipline and auditing, two very scary things, but you need them.
The good thing is you can do the auditing on your own. So, I mean, maybe with your spouse or partner, you might be doing that. But unless you're like, let's say, one of the young people of today, you're not going to post it on social media. So this audit's done in private, whether it's in your finances or in your health. So you make that change on your own. But again, you mentioned the other part, which is the discipline or desire. So I would say it's first desire and then discipline to be consistent. That's why I tell people, just don't jump full in to that. And what's really funny is that people tend to dip their toes in the water when it's with finances. So when I tell people they can start with 1% or one penny of every dollar, that seems doable. For some reason, mentally, people, when they decide they want to get in shape, they go do something. They literally go off the deep end first, right? They show up at the gym, or they try to go for a 2-hour run, and then they realize that this is just really hard and quit. That's the one difference between the two. I noticed that people completely okay dipping their toe in the water when it comes to money. People completely dive into the deep end too quickly when it comes to, let's say, fitnesses, and they burn out. So you can be sustained, I think, even more in the finances. You just got to get started. And it's a good exercise. And I know this is a large number for a lot of people out there, but there was a gentleman, Charlie Munger. He was the longtime business partner with Warren Buffett. He passed away right before his 100th birthday a couple of years ago. But he was actually kind of known as this sort of American-based philosopher, just like Warren Buffett. Less famous, but they were business partners for 65 years together. And he said that that magical number, and it applied many decades ago and it still applies today, is that when you get to the point in your savings and they start to accumulate and overall they get to that $100,000 number, a flip switches that all of a sudden you realize that, wow, it was really, really hard to get that $100,000 level. But once you got there, things got easier because you started realizing that your money actually started making money on its own. And he said it was really weird to him because in the 1970s, that was a number that meant something to him. But he would still talk to people and say that was very relevant in 2021, 22, and 23. He passed away in that time frame. But he always used that 100,000 number. And that made me seem so far away right now. But you happen to mention the journey of 100,000 steps begins with a single one. I think you know if you're on track, once you get to step 5,000 to 10,000, you kind of know the direction you're going in. Then you start to walk faster. You get to 15 and 20. A few years later, you might be at halfway there. And then for some reason, when you hit 100, you're on autopilot. Like, you know, you're able to knock out your 10 to 15,000 steps a day without even thinking about it and going up from there.
Now, that was a famous saying from Warren Buffett also, that if you can't find a way to make your money make money for you, you're going to work forever. You know, or if you can't make money when you're sleeping, you're gonna work forever. Your money should always work for you, whether it's the equity building in a piece of real estate, whether you got it in a high interest savings account that's, you know, just generating money by sitting there. There's a lot of different tactics and techniques to use, but there is truth to that. And the more money that you have sitting somewhere, the quicker those interest payments rack up. So,
Between the two, Charlie was the funnier one. So if you actually Google and look up a bunch of Charlie Munger quotes, they're hilarious. And Warren Buffett, I think, was the more practical person, but it was not as much fun to read. Munger was just funny, unfiltered funny. So
Warren Buffett seems like he's not a very funny guy. I mean, and he's very, I would say practical. He still lives in the same house he did in the 50s. And, you know, the guy's worth $100 billion. So practical, I'd say, would be an understatement for that sort of living. But definitely good advice coming from both of them. So, yeah, do some research on those guys.
And I guess maybe, you know, they should probably talk a little bit about their longevity, too. They're both like in the 90s, lived in 99. So they should probably be doling out some tips on health, too.
Yeah, really. Or, you know, it helps to have $100 billion. You get some top notch care.
I guess that's true. That's a good point.
That helps. You know, he knows the guy.
Lives that life and he drinks Coca-Cola with sugar and he eats at McDonald's.
Well, maybe we got it wrong the whole time. I doubt it.
That's exactly true. That could be a good point. That's for sure. But you know, on the retirement side, you know, Rocket Dollar, the company, our parent company, I mean, our motto itself is actually we helping Americans retire. So achieving financial freedom. So it's just that thinking about it goes what you just talked about, which is that you get to a point where you learn and you position your money to make money on its own. So then you don't have to do the work for the money, right? In America, in modern society around the globe, everyone spends a lot of time working for the money. If you get to a position where you can get at some point over a sustained period of time, putting away one dime of that, and then you work up to that, you don't just start there. Maybe you start with 1 cent, work up to the dime. But then once you get to 10 cents of every dollar being put away, there is this inflection point where at some point down the road, after a certain amount of time, that money generates enough money. So then you don't have to work for your money at that point. And that formula is held true regardless of what's happened in the economy, just by people being invested. And one of the things I like, I accidentally got into the retirement space because of when and the circumstances in the economy of when I started at Merrill Lynch, but it put me into this space where there was a lot of personal satisfaction knowing that you can have this impact and just sort of telling people and having this conversation and helping them start on that path. Because I think I learned then, and I've made my own mistakes throughout my life, but you can never go backwards and talk to your younger self, but you can always talk and give advice to someone else starting out and so forth. And I've been blessed to where I've been in a position to essentially be paid and given a microphone to talk to tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people in one of what I would argue are one of the most important critical things to a healthy, sustainable life.
Yeah, no, and it's good to have a voice like yours that not only comes from experience, but, you know, you're compassionate and you care about people and you really want to see them succeed in retirement. And that's rare. You're not just here to collect a check from people. And that's one thing that I've gathered from our time working together that I really appreciate. It's always your honest, unfettered advice that's really coming from a place of like, go do this. You can do this. It's encouragement. It's excitement. And it's something right. that needs to be shared from the mountaintop. So I truly appreciate guys like you and you yourself that do this. But what does that look like for the future of Rocket Dollar? What's on the horizon for you guys that we can keep our eyes out for?
Well, in August, early August, there was an executive order signed by Trump that officially declared from the executive office that private and alternative investments could be eligible to be held inside of 401k plans or offered inside of 401k and retirement type plans. So, you know, I think that when I started the company, I thought that, hey, there's just a concentration of monies that exist in these accounts that don't sit in any private investments. If we make a digital platform to make it easier for folks to tap into private investments like real estate or digital assets using their existing IRAs and 401k money, well, now people can achieve diversification with that. And then you flash forward 7 years later, it's now being allowed at the government level. So now regulators, investment companies now know that they can make these investments offered to the public. So I kind of feel like Rocket Dollar is in a position where this is what we've always stood for. So yes, we're a retirement platform company, but we've always been alternative and private investments only. And I started this company based on knowledge that I'd accumulated that this is where the puck is going to go. 7 years ago, it might've been a little early at the time, but I think for us, we're in a great position to help Americans start to diversify some of that 99.5% of accumulated retirement account money in the tens of trillions of dollars and go into things that maybe, you know, zag when the stock market zigs, for example, so they don't just all go together. You know, when I started my career, people used to go from stocks to bonds because they actually, you know, quite literally moved in opposite directions. And you, as someone who worked in the mortgage industry, understand that quite a bit. But mathematically, those investments have actually, stocks and bonds have somewhat tracked together now recently. So if someone is really trying to diversify a portfolio, they need to find a different investment that's going to zag when the stock market zigs. And that could exist in the form of digital assets. It could exist in the form of real estate or non-public investments. Now, that's one thing. People find those investments and they understand this math. The second one is a platform like Rocket Dollar enabling you to tap into the monies that you already have to then go make these investments, right? Because it's one thing to know about them, but if all your money is not able to go into that, well, that kind of ruins the point altogether. As a matter of fact, it's worse. Now you have the knowledge that you should do something else, but you can't. And our platform opens that up. So I feel like we're in a great position. So we currently sit at roughly $12 billion of customer assets. We have customers in all 50 states. I remember, you know, about 2 years after we started the business, we were celebrating internally at the office that we had a customer at that point in every state in U.S. territory. Oddly enough, Puerto Rico in the U.S. Virgin Islands wasn't last. It was some random state. I can't remember. It was a Maine or a Vermont. And someone opened up and that was our last one. And since then, we've obviously had many, many customers in all jurisdictions in the United States. But I think the future for us is just to continue to be that example of, hey, we're the retirement platform that allows you to easily open an account to go into private and alternative investments so you can diversify away from the monies that most retirement accounts have held since the creation of them in 1974.
Yeah. And I love it because, again, I think a lot of people don't even realize that, hey, I can actually use some of this money that I've been collecting over X amount of years at job number 1, 2, 3, and 4. And yeah, exactly. Having the ability to withdraw that and reinvest it into something similar, but also diversifying what you currently have could be a game changer for a lot of people that they don't even realize. So if you're interested, I highly recommend you guys check out rocketdollar.com. Obviously, they've got team members and people there that can help you set up your accounts and sort of learn about what trends they're seeing and working with. But I highly recommend just getting your feet into the pool. And again, if you want to have some things that are zigging instead of zagging, you got to play in different fields and you got to really spread yourself out there. So going to a company like Rocket Dollar that's already building such this amazing platform that can help you diversify, you know, you don't have to reinvent the wheel when you got somebody doing it for you. So check out Henry Yoshida and RocketDollar.com for sure.
Yeah, thank you very much, Joe.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on the show. And and again, I'll leave you with sort of the hot spot question. If there was one piece of advice you could give anybody right now thinking about getting started on this path, even if they weren't going to come to Rocket Dollar, what's your one piece of unfiltered advice for the retirement enthusiast?
I would spend time, just look it up, open an account, tag your bank account to it, and just put even $10 in it right now. Because if you don't do it, if you're like the average American, you're going to waste that $10 anyway on something in the next 72 hours, whether you know it or not. So might as well give it to yourself instead of giving it to Starbucks.
I don't like Starbucks, but I could find something else to spend it on, I'm sure.
Exactly. But, you know, someone else's Starbucks is maybe another person's, I don't know, Five Guys that they didn't eat, for example, just whatever it is. But my big thing is just get started and make it easy. So if you just go online, open the account, it really goes to and the last time I was in Denver, it was actually to go see this person speak named James Clear. He wrote a book called Atomic Habits. And really that
book
kind of talks about just putting yourself in a position to make good habits easy for you. So if you want to wake up early in the morning and get out for a run, put your running shoes by the foot of your bed. And as you literally get out of bed, you're going to step on your running shoes. Now, a couple of times you may keep walking and go back into bed or get up and not leave the house. But after like day three of you just putting them there, you just realize that, hey, you took this one piece of friction away. So the friction in finances might be just get that account opened and then link your bank account. Maybe you don't even put money into it right now, but it's there. One time you're going to think about it and say, you know, I need to go in there and just push the button and push $10 over there, because otherwise it's going to go towards something else that maybe I didn't need ultimately, or maybe just quite frankly, is not as important as me being safe and secure, living comfortably in the final 25 years of my life.
It's easy, it's actionable, and it sets up good habits. So, and a nice reference to James Clear. I like, he's got a great newsletter, by the way, if you've never dialed into that, it's worth the read.
Yeah.
But Henry, I really appreciate you coming on to The Measuring Post. This is very insightful. I love what Rocket Dollar is doing. Again, rocketdollar.com. We will put links around this show when we do release that. So get over there, open an account, talk to those investors over there, find out what you can and can't do, what you should or shouldn't be doing. And again, I think Henry nailed the nail on the head there. Just start. $10. That's all you got to get going with. And it'll snowball into a much bigger momentum than you're anticipating. So get started and just be consistent with that discipline. But I like the word you used better earlier, the desire. Have the desire to want to do this. Pay yourself first. You'll never regret it.
That's right.
Awesome. Thanks, Henry. Appreciate your time on The Measuring Post.
Thank you very much, Joe.